Monster Movie Media presents. And welcome to episode 68 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. In this episode, we chat with artist Savannah Rodriguez about her creepy Disney-inspired art and a few other Disney topics as well. Why don't you have a listen? Let's do it. Let's listen. Let's listen right now. Alrighty, I'm here with artist Savannah Rodriguez. Hello.
Hi.
And how are you doing? This lovely spring-ish day.
I'm great. I'm enjoying the weather, wearing flip-flops. It's been nice.
Nice. Yeah, you're in Utah currently?
I am. Mm-hmm.
And so today's flip-flops, tomorrow snow?
Possibly. That is how the weather can go here. I think I've got nice weather for the next week at least.
All right. Enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's jump right to it. You are an artist, as I mentioned.
So, oh, thanks.
How would you describe your art?
Well, it's so weird. I think calling yourself an artist is almost like calling yourself an entrepreneur. You kind of feel like you don't really deserve the title, almost, even if you get paid for it sometimes. my style, I guess, because I just kind of stumbled into it. I just over a year ago, I just had my son and I was kind of needing an outlet to be creative. And I started to paint and I thought, hey, this isn't bad. I could probably make a few dollars off this. And it just exploded from there.
Wow.
And so my art style is I didn't even go to school really for it. So it's just it's just my love of Disney put into paint. That'd probably be the only way to describe it.
Well, let's take a step back here. You just started painting a year ago? Like, you never did it before in your entire life?
Well, no. I mean, you know, you take like an art class or two in junior high or high school. And I did. I took like two or three classes throughout junior high and high school, but I was always in like the basic classes where they have you shading a cube. You know, and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so I know I painted, but I didn't paint to the scale that I painted when I started last year. Because I had never, like, sat down and said, I'm going to finish this. Like, I'd done lots of sketching or lots of colored crayons creations or, I don't know, I'd done lots of dabbling. But I'd never really sat down and said, this is going to happen. And I finished...
Wow.
I finished a pretty good sized painting within a couple of days and I thought, yeah, I can do this to make a few extra bones on the side.
Nice. So, nice. Mm-hmm. You see, it was sitting there within you this whole time. You're just waiting to unleash it.
Exactly.
Nice. So you mentioned this a little bit there. You were inspired to start to express your love of Disney, but let's take a few steps back. And, how did you, become a Disney fan? Like, how did you get into Disney?
Oh man, sometimes it seems like it never wasn't there, because I grew up in Southern California in Irvine, and both my parents took us to Disneyland all the time. We had annual passports for as long as I can remember.
Wow.
And Yeah, like the very first Disney movie that I remember kind of wowing about was when Ariel was re-released on the big screen, and I went and saw it. I was little. I was 4 or 5. I can't remember. But I do remember seeing it big, like on a big screen. And I remember being like, oh my goodness, this is – it was beyond anything I could comprehend at that age. And I just remember being – it just launched me into the princess world, and I love mermaids because of it, and it made me want to draw for sure. That's probably one of the kickoffs of when I became a true Disney person at heart. It had always been there, but
right. So that was kind of a pivotal moment.
Yeah, for my young life.
Yes. You're like, I want to be a mermaid or draw them. I don't know.
One of the two. Probably if I had my choice, I'd be one, but
right on. So you went to the parks a lot when you were a kid. Like, what years were this?
Oh, well, I honestly went to the park from the time I was, like, I have photos from when I was, like, a newborn baby at the park. So up until I was, you know, my parents, they eventually moved a little bit further away from Disneyland. Well, my parents split, so I was further away from Disneyland. And then I would go visit my father, who was right next to Disneyland. So I would go probably every other weekend in, like, those teenage years that are so pivotal and so important. I went a lot because my dad and I, you know, I don't know, being a teenager, sometimes you don't have a lot in common with your parents, and you're by yourself with them for a weekend, and you're like, oh man, what are you going to do all weekend?
Right.
You know? So we would go to the park, and it was wonderful, and it's been great because now that I'm a grown-up, I've bonded over that with my family, you know, this love of the parks. So it's been awesome.
Wow, so Disneyland was literally your playground growing up.
It definitely was.
That's incredible. I grew up about a little over an hour away from Disneyland, and I would go pretty often, but certainly not every other week.
Yeah, it really was that often in high school because we didn't have a whole lot of things in common, and I just thought that was a good place to go. We wouldn't always necessarily go for like a full day, but I was one of those annoying people that got to go for a couple of hours and ride, you know, a thing or two. Those people that you hate. I was one of them.
Well, I hope to become one of those people very soon.
So. Oh, I hope so, too. For you and for me, let's both go.
Just for an hour. Let's swing by.
Exactly. Just, like, take in the ambiance of it all.
Oh, that's amazing. So what was your favorite ride growing up?
Oh, man. I feel like you can't have one. I don't know.
Of course you can't, but I mean, I'm asking you to choose one.
Oh, no. Okay, choosing one, it'd have to be Peter Pan. That was like my childhood story, and it just touched me. So I'd say that one.
Nice. Always a wait for that one, still to this day.
I know. I haven't gone on it in a few years, even though I've gone. Because it just seems like every time I went by, it was a 50-minute wait. And because I now live in Utah, I have to savor the moments I'm there. And so I'm like, oh, I don't want to wait in line for that yet. I can ride it a little bit later, and then I miss it.
Yeah, it happens.
Mm-hmm. It does. But if I'm going to say second and third, it's going to be Pirates and Haunted Mansion in that order.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing a little bit of a theme here. You have a thing for pirates. You got Captain Hook.
This is true. Pirates and mermaids. It's there.
It's all coming together. So would you say Captain Hook is your favorite villain?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, well, who is your favorite villain?
Maleficent, hands down. From like a drawing perspective, I've always thought she was the most perfect villain. Her ensemble is to die for. Is the best.
Oh, yeah. There's,
it doesn't get better than flame looking gown and horns. I mean, so good.
So do you prefer classic Maleficent or new Maleficent?
Angelina Jolie. I'm one of those people that can enjoy them both in like compartmentalize. Like, oh, this one is separate from this one. I don't have to think of them as being the same, so I don't have to have them fight it out.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm good with both, but if I was to say which one I like better, I'd always be the classic because that was the first one I liked.
Right.
So,
I had to ask.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I feel like the new movie was awesome. I loved it, but I miss her being the ultimate villain. The new movie softened her a bit.
Yeah, I really enjoy the film. Mm-hmm. But I wish the period in which she was evil was a longer chunk of the movie.
Agreed. I thought the same thing. I was like, man, they need to make her, like, worse. I didn't quite – not that I didn't believe it. I just didn't have long enough to accept it, I feel like.
Yeah, they kind of skimmed over that.
Uh-huh. They did, totally.
They spent more time showing how she cared for Aurora. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have traded some of that time for for some more evil time.
I agree. Some more of her telling her baby that it's terrible.
Well, no, that was part of her bonding with the baby. We could just get rid of all that. I want to see, like, actual evil. I want to, you know.
Oh, evil actions. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They, like, kind of skimmed over that. She was kind of evil for, like, 5 minutes, not even, I don't know, 3 minutes, I don't know.
They kind of, I know. It's like one of those times they, like, have a narrator, and she was evil,
right?
And then they move on.
But that's my soapbox on Maleficent. Anyway, so moving on. This is not the Maleficent episode. So let's talk a little bit about some of your art. I have some questions in particular about one of your pieces. It is your interpretation of A Portrait of Things to Come that appears in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Now,
yeah.
I have to say, personally, I've always loved this piece, and I've wanted a replica of that in my home. Actual size. That's, if I can get the one in the ride into my home, if there's somehow I could figure.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes they do, like, sometimes they recycle them out, like they... like, you know what I mean? Get a new print in. And so it is the one in the ride. And so they, like, sell them on or auction them off. Oh man. Right. Those go for so much though. Yeah, I'd want one too.
Of course. Yeah. Now has that been changed? Have you heard that?
Well,
I've never heard that before.
Well, I know that, like, the stretching portraits in the Haunted Mansion, which were, original, like, those have been changed out.
Oh, wow.
And so people do own the originals. So I'm sure that that one's been – I wouldn't be surprised. If they've done it with the Haunted Mansion with those iconic stretching portraits, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they've done it with that painting as well.
Interesting.
But maybe the Haunted Mansion gets more wear and tear because they're always moving.
It's moving, yeah. All right.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
What about, like, what that portrait's in, like, water, like humidity?
Oh, yeah, or that's true. That would definitely take its toll.
Something
for
in the,
sure.
Just in the air? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and they have, like, a lot of mist and smoke in that. So I'm sure it probably does get damaged. I wouldn't be surprised if they have to change it out.
Let's see. What do you think that would go for?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. I know that, like, they recently sold a tiki bird at auction. In the millions, I think it was. It was insane.
Wow.
So it's like, I don't know how much that would go for. Don't even quote me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Tiki Birds were their first animatronic figures, so I could see maybe that. I don't think that would go quite for the millions.
Okay, maybe it wasn't the million. Maybe it was the total auction that was in millions. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was.
I mean, I don't know about the Tiki
Bird.
Don't
quote me.
I'm not quoting that. I just hope that painting wouldn't be millions of dollars. That's what I was saying.
Oh, yeah. You know. It's going to be more than I can afford. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I bet it's as much as my house, probably.
I would sell my house to get it, but then I have nowhere to put it, so.
Oh, darn it. Just have it in the street alley, hanging
just
up.
Just hanging out the alley.
Polish it.
My little cardboard box, I'll put it up in there. But anyways, that's weird. Anyways, so what inspired you to recreate it?
I don't know anybody that doesn't pass by there and think about it. Think about having it for their own. And so it was actually like the second or third thing I painted for myself and then decided to sell art in general.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was pretty high up there as far as inspiration goes. There was something, oh man, I think it's the fact that she's got this real kind of come hither look in her eyes, and she's, you know, she's so exposed and yet still modest. I mean, this is a children's park.
No, that's debatable, but
well, I mean, nothing critical is showing, but, and then I always thought it was interesting that she was this kind of, clearly she's not a good girl. Like, she's got a bad girl vibe going on.
Right.
Yeah, she's depicted amongst, you know, fresh fruit kind of. I feel like that kind of, you know, is supposed to be her. She's at her ripest point. And then she's, you know, surrounded by gold coins. And then there's these seagulls and there's cherubs. And then there's like a boat off in the distance. And I always wondered why she wasn't on this boat. You know, like, why was she being left behind? And why is she kind of being shown as this not good person, like a bad girl, but she's also got this cherub feeding her wine? Like, I don't know. I've always felt like it was such a good composition of things that just make you think and make you want to look again.
Right.
And so I just wanted one for my house, and so I painted it, and then I kept painting it.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Did you do it? How big did you paint it, the first one?
The first one was not very big, a 9x12 inch painting. Mm. I mean, so it's just slightly larger than a piece of paper. So it wasn't super huge, but the biggest I ever did was a 24x14 or something. I can't remember. It was pretty large. It was, you know, it took up more than at the time I had a really small kitchen table.
Oh, okay.
And it was too big for my table.
Oh, okay. What do you think the original size is?
Original? I bet it's at least 36x40 something is my guess. It'd probably be about that size.
Could you do one that size?
Oh, for sure. I could. I mean, people ask me all the time, like, could you do that? It's like, oh, definitely. But to make it worth my time, you know, and the supplies just alone of paint going on canvas.
Right.
It's usually more than people want to pay. But no, I definitely can do it.
Right on, right.
For sure. Yeah. It just takes a lot of time and lots of paint. You'd be surprised how much paint can go into just a small canvas.
Wow, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I would never not know that at all.
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking you this because I want it. That's why.
Oh, yeah, if you want one, for sure. We can talk. We can talk money later. It's, yeah, I can make you one. Definitely.
It's a dream of mine. But anyways, I would love to. Yeah. If I can't have the one in the attraction, I'll definitely go for an interpretation. So what kind of reaction have you gotten to this being out there, to this particular piece?
This particular one? Yeah. Oh, people always are just like, they want it in their house. They want it for their living room. They just love that it's – because it, so my paintings are definitely in my own style, which is somewhat more cartoony than I think the original is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not perfectly exactly how the original is.
Right.
And in a few of the versions I have done, most of the versions, unless somebody has requested it, her eyes are usually closed. I never liked that she was looking at me. It was like she was telling, I don't know. It was a bit like the Mona Lisa. I didn't like what her eyes weren't telling me.
Hmm.
And so I like to depict her with her eyes closed. I feel like she's got a bit more to hide, but it's in a less intense way. I don't know.
Okay.
That's my version, is that she's got her eyes closed instead of open, as well as the cherub. It's like it's like you're not a part of the club almost. I don't know. It's just something I felt like I wanted. I wanted their eyes to be closed. And I've done it open, so it could be done either way. But that probably.
I like it closed. I like it. And, you know, I think it looks cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So I've gotten a good response. People seem to like the eyes closed. They seem to think that looks good. So I've gotten mostly positive responses. In fact, after that, after it got published on the Nerdist as like one of those suggestions for Disney Christmas list, I think it was, like, what to give the Disney
fan in your life, I believe.
That's right. Yes. I was like, what was that article called? But yeah, after it went in there, I sold like five right away, five prints. And so it was awesome. It was definitely something people want, but not necessarily something people think that they want. Like, they don't necessarily
right.
think that that's what I want.
Until they see it, then they're like, gotta have it.
Right.
So switching to some of your other pieces here, you did like a series of drawings with ink and pencil that were all kind of dark and spooky.
Yeah, because there's a challenge called Inktober, and it's just during the month of October. you just are supposed to draw with ink once a day. And so, obviously, being October, everything is going to be awesomely dark themed.
Yeah. So, you did Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, I love that movie.
And then you did The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen the Tim Burton one. It came out when I was a bit too young to be interested in that. And so I grew up on the Ichabod Crane, like the Disney, really, like Bing Crosby sings the whole thing. It's pretty good, but it is still pretty creepy as a kid. So
it's always been that's a very dark film.
Yeah. It freaked me out then.
That's awesome. And yeah, I like it. Did Corpse Bride too, which is not a Disney film. We could talk about it though. But because one thing I like about it actually is when you see the Corpse Bride, and I don't remember if that's what the character's name is, or
Emily. Well, Corpse Bride or Emily. That's right.
Emily. I don't know. Like she looks kind of pretty. She doesn't look too decapitated. Not that,
that's true.
You know, and
she's kept really well.
There's something about the way that you presented her around her eyes that really looks kind of a little more gruesome than you're used to seeing her.
Yeah, it's supposed to be from that scene. It's from the scene where she grabs Victor because he escapes and goes to Victoria, and she feels very betrayed, and she grabs him and she says the special word hopscotch so they can return to the land of the dead. And she has got the evil woman look. I mean, my husband calls it the Princess Jasmine look because that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like, there's no messing with this woman here. Right. So, yeah, I think that any woman could look demonic if she's giving you that face.
True enough. All right. So you did one every day in October?
I tried. I don't know if I did it every day. I think I did at least 20, though. It was a good number.
What were some of the other ones you did? Because these are the ones that you have in your store, but what are the other ones you did?
Oh, some of the other ones. I did Edward Scissorhands. I did Jack Skellington. I did the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus.
Nice.
I did a Binks, which is the cat on Hocus Pocus. Morticia Adams. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. There was a bunch. I know I did Wednesday Addams. I think I did Frankenstein at one point. I just did. It was a Halloween theme, so I kind of was everywhere.
Got everybody. Sounds cool.
Yeah, they were fun. It's especially fun to kind of challenge yourself with shadows and light and dark because ink is only one. Well, you could find other colored ink, but I was using Indian ink and it was just black. So
different shades of black, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I see the Lydia Dietz one is red and black.
Oh, that's right. I did use a colored pencil on Lydia because it was her wedding gown. And then, of course, that's very red.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the contest you had? It was the Art Savannah color contest.
Oh, that was fun. I'd seen another artist do something similar, and it was basically like, here are my unfinished pieces of art. I've tagged them so you can find them easily.
Mm-hmm.
Go through, find something you like. You can print it off. You can digitally color it. You can, you know, you could use crayons. You could do whatever. And it was kind of like, you know, have at it.
Right.
Create whatever you want based on what I've drawn. And it was so fun because made me want to make a coloring book because it was so neat to see.
Nice.
Well, no, it was so cool to see people coloring things that I had drawn. It was just super fun. So that was the contest and the winners. It was so neat. I actually had three winners and they each used a different medium. One used colored pencils to color it in after printing it out. The other digitally colored it with paint. And then the third actually turned it into a stamp. It was awesome.
Wow.
So I felt like it was a great contest. So
that's awesome to get other artists, you know, involved and inspired or, you know, artists in training or whatever, you know, to get in there. So one that stands out to me, which the reason I brought it up was that one kind of took painting a bell and sort of made half of her face look like a zombie.
Oh, yeah. I actually drew it that way. That was
okay. Nice.
Yeah. It was for a contest as well during Halloween. I drew it forever ago, and they wanted you to make something, a Disney princess, into something gross, basically. And so I made her. I called her Belle the Zombeast. So that was my, like, she was a zombie Belle, but she was half pretty and half grossness.
What made you want to choose Belle for this experiment?
I think probably I liked Belle, like Belle and the Zombiest sounded good. Yeah, that might have been my inspiration. It was so long ago. I can't remember, but I've always liked Belle. She has a special place in my heart. She's probably one of my top princesses.
Okay.
Right on. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a cool. What was the winners of the contest? What did they win?
Oh, just a shout out on my page. So I guess I didn't really talk about that, but I have an Instagram page, and since I started painting a year ago, I have gotten over, I think I'm at 22,000 followers.
In 1 year. Wow.
Yeah, I can't remember. I might have 20,000. No, it's 20,000.2. That's what it is. 20.2, not 22. I'm pretty sure.
And that's just all organic growth of just using hashtags?
Well, yeah, it's been hashtags and contests. Like other artists will have a contest and then they give you a shout out. Or just sometimes people are super generous. They say, I like your work. I'll feature it on my page.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just been from that. And lots of hashtags. Hashtags are amazing. People use them. You don't even know.
Yeah, I guess so.
And so you have lots of hashtags, but yeah, you'll notice every single post has a lot, but it's been awesome. And so that's a pretty cool thing for people to get if they are an aspiring artist, to get noticed by so many people. And, sure. And I know people do that for me. So any chance I have to do it for other people is no big deal to me. It's awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
that's incredible. So speaking of your Instagram, there's a particular post you made the time of recording. It's yesterday. I'm not sure when this will be released, but but you put up a Princess Leia hair tutorial video.
Yeah,
which, you know, I guess I don't go seeking out hair tutorial videos since I have no hair. But I certainly have never seen a hair tutorial video in 15 seconds. That was very, very impressive.
Well, yeah. You time-lapse it and then you speed it up a bit.
So, I did a Princess Leia hair tutorial. What inspired you to do that?
Well, as you probably know, yesterday was May 4th, which is May the 4th be with you.
Of course.
So it's Star Wars Day. And so I had done some Star Wars nail polish fun with acrylics, and I wanted to also do my hair special because as a girl, your hair is definitely a way to express yourself.
Right.
And so I knew I could do that pretty easily. I just cut off a black sock, cut off the toe on each sock, and then you roll it into like a donut. And that becomes extra padding for your Leia buns, which then go on your head, and you twist them and tuck your hair in and do a few other fancy little things, but it's not too hard. Right. Maybe I'm making it sound really complicated. I promise it's not.
What made you want to actually like post a video of a hair tutorial?
Well, so I posted a picture as like, hey guys, guess what I'm wearing today? And I had a ton of people that were like, how did you do it? So I said, oh, okay.
Wow. So that was like an instant response. Like you decided.
Yeah. I took it out and I put it back in because it doesn't take me more than, I don't know, 6 minutes, 10 minutes tops to do that. So I just quickly took it out and did it again to videotape it and then posted it. It was pretty easy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, are you a big Star Wars fan?
I'm not like huge, but I mean, it has definitely shaped my life. But I mean, I'm not like somebody that you can trivia quiz about it. But I do love Star Wars, and I am so pumped for the new for the new movie.
Right on. Right. Don't worry, I'm not going to quiz you or anything.
Oh, phew. I sometimes worry. Like, if you say you're a fan, it's like you got to know, you know, everything about Boba Fett and Jango Fett and who they are and which one's which. And if you don't, you are blacklisted forever.
Well, I know that, and I wouldn't call myself a huge Star Wars fan.
Well, that's true. I know that too, but I just, you know what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha,
like, if
I
you
gotcha,
don't
yeah.
know certain things, people are like, oh, she's not a real fan. She didn't know.
Yeah, no, I don't get into that. You know, you just enjoy it, get whatever you get out of it, and that's and that's it. You know.
Definitely.
I'm still having a hard time accepting Star Wars as part of the Disney universe, though.
Are you?
Yeah.
I just so maybe it's because I was at Disneyland and Star Tours was always there. It feels right to me.
Right. I mean, I know, but Star Tours, you know, it wasn't a crazy leap, but yeah, it's I never accepted it. I never thought of it as like it always was like a guest in the park. I never thought of it as like this is part of the Disney universe. You
know? I guess that's true. And I think I'm a little bit younger than you. And so Indiana Jones, I remember when it premiered in the park and Star Tours, and like but I was young enough that I just accepted it. You know, I just took it in and it was like, oh, they're one and the same. And so when it happened, I was like, makes sense. Feels right.
Yeah, I guess if you're a certain age, if it was always there, then what's the difference to you?
Yeah, it was never a separate entity for me because Disneyland was such a part of my life and they were always there, Indiana Jones and Star Tours. So it was like Lucasfilm becoming Disney was just, who didn't think this was a good idea sooner? Like this should have happened years ago to me.
Right, right. So. Yeah, I know. I just, I've talked about this a few times on other episodes. I have a hard time accepting things that were introduced to me in another way as part of Disney. Like I accept Pixar as part of Disney because that's the way it was introduced to me, you know, through Disney. But Marvel and Star Wars, I just don't see as part of Disney. I'm slowly getting there, but I'm just like
that's true. I do see Marvel as feeling separate, even though I know it is Disney now. It does feel separate. I can see what you're saying. Totally.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, it's all getting mixed together, but you know, going to your Instagram, you also posted videos of you singing.
Oh, I know. They're so embarrassing, but people love them.
I was going to say, they're embarrassing. I think you have a really good singing voice. Like what made you want to start posting singing videos?
Well, you know, once you get into like the universe, the online universe where you become a pseudo celebrity, cause you're not a celebrity,
right?
But you're still communicating with people you have no idea who they are or where they're from, and there's thousands of them.
I mean, you got 20,000 followers, so or 22,000.
Right. And so, I mean, like, I'm not a celebrity, no. But you become like a pseudo celebrity, and people enjoy knowing that you're multifaceted, that you're not just a painter. Do you know what I mean? They enjoy knowing that you are also a mess. Like they like to see, hey, this is my workspace and it's not clean. Oh yeah, she's messy. So people enjoy that. Right. And so singing has always been a real big part of my life. And so I was like, hey, I'll share that with you guys. This is a little bit more about me. I sing for fun. And so I posted some videos and I got super great responses. So I posted a few more. And so I've got, probably have like 10 at least on there, just little 15 second clips of different songs I enjoy. So been really fun. Yeah.
And have you always sung or are you just something else you just started doing a year ago?
No, I've always sung. My mom and my dad were both musical theater people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so musical theater, like music was always in my home, especially musical soundtracks were always played in my home. And you don't just listen to musical soundtracks unless you sing along with musical soundtracks.
Oh, of course,
and so,
right.
And so there was lots of singing in my house. And I don't feel like I was a particularly good singer until I watched Phantom of the Opera when it came out in theaters. And I was like, oh, man, I want to sing like that.
Oh, wow.
And so I started taking singing lessons and I got a lot better after that. So I think I attribute my improvement to the Phantom of the Opera.
Nice. We approve. So is it something you're just going to do as a hobby or you think you might back into singing?
When I went to Disney World when I was 20 and they had the American Idol experience.
Right.
And I got clear up till the top three, and then I got third place. Wow. And it was nice. I was so hoping for that golden ticket because I really wanted to go. But I live in Utah, and they only came to Utah a certain number of times, and I feel like every time they did come, it was not a good time, and I couldn't go and audition. And so, I mean, like, that's your dream. I mean, that's everybody's dream who sings, to be discovered and right. make an album. And I'm okay with the fact that I never got discovered, because I'm very happy to just sing 15-minute clips that people enjoy. And that's
enough. You mean 15-second clips?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what'd I say?
15 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's a lot longer.
That's a long clip.
Seconds. Wow. Me singing for 15 minutes, people have to be pretty patient to listen to that.
Yeah, if that's just a clip, what's the whole thing?
Even my 2-year-old is like, no, enough singing, Mom.
All right. I just figured I would ask because it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that mm-hmm. that you mix it up on your Instagram. So is that really your main thing? Do you have a website, or is it just the Instagram?
Right now, it's mostly Instagram. I have Facebook and I have Twitter as well. And I do post on those periodically. But Instagram, I've gotten the most success and the most not just success with followers, but also like support from people that are also Instagram artists. And okay. so Instagram has been a real great place for me to kind of discover what I want to do, you know, just a good playground.
Right, right. So you're kind of like being inspired and evolving in front of everyone's eyes, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. It's been so great to see other artists, because their improvement over time makes you want to improve, and their techniques, you know, just even seeing somebody's techniques, it makes me think like, oh, their pencil lines are so smooth. Like, I want to have smoother pencil lines, or they work so well with watercolors. I want to master acrylics in the way that they've mastered watercolors, or their right, noses right. are always so good. I want to draw a nose like that. I don't know. It's just,
right, right.
it's a great community of just constant uplifting, you know, self-improvement, I think.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it's great. Again, I'm congratulations on getting a following like that in 1 year. I think that's incredible.
Oh, yeah. I think it's incredible. I don't even know how it happened. Because I think sometimes, you know, things happen and it's amazing and wonderful, but you kind of sit back and you're like, I am just a mother of a son who's 2. And I'm just I just started painting as a way to stay home with him. And look where it's gone. It's gotten so much bigger and more than anything I could have ever imagined for myself. So it's just awesome.
Wow. Well, at this point, now that you've a year in, and you kind of see this is going somewhere, what is your ultimate goal with your art?
Ultimate goal probably would be just to make it so that I think becoming a parent, you know, my goals have changed. If I was to say several right. years ago, my goals would have been very different. But right now it would be just to, my husband provides for us all that we need, but it'd be nice, to be able to contribute so that we could maybe go to Disneyland every year, or maybe one day go to Disney World every year as well. You know, right, I think right. that I, at this point, I just want it to be a way to, edify myself, grow as an individual, grow my talents, and also provide a way for my family to enjoy things like vacations and maybe one day move into a house with a bigger yard, or, you right, know, right. just a way for me to contribute to my own family's happiness at this point. That'd be my personal aspirations. But I guess if I was going to say like goals as far as like business.
Yeah, as far as the artwork goes. Yeah.
As far as business goes, yeah. Man, my aspirations are much, much bigger. I think they're to the moon. I would love, to be employed by Disney to make artwork for them. I would love to illustrate a book. I would love to just have a line that is recognized as being mine. Like, you know, everybody sees a Thomas Kinkade and they know exactly who he is.
Right.
Or,
right.
you know, everybody sees Mickey and they know that's Disney. Like, that would be awesome to have something that is so uniquely mine and recognizable, that would be probably the biggest, coolest thing I could do.
So are you going to, you know, is your future involved maybe creating original characters? And...
Oh, definitely. I mean, people feel such a connection to Disney. They want Disney in their homes. They want that piece of artwork. And so there's a really obvious reason why Disney sells, is because people feel that connection. They want to feel it again when they walk into whatever room that has a piece of art that they love from a movie that they love, which reminds them of emotions. And it'll be hard for me to ever branch away from Disney entirely.
Well, very cool. So, you mentioned it a little bit before, but you know, how do people find, you know, you online, and, where's the main place that people can find and buy your artwork? Let's start there.
Right now it's just Etsy, which is ETSY Etsy. And, it's just a place for artists who make all kinds of things, artisans to sell their works. And so you can find me on there, under my full name, Savannah Rodriguez. And then, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can find me as well. My email is artsavannah@gmail.com. You know, I'm pretty easy to contact, but I'm not as easy to commission work for, because due to how many awesome followers I've had, I get booked within a month. I mean, like, I close commissions off, and then I work on them, and then I open for commissions, and then I close. And so I'm a little bit harder to commission work from, just because it's so everything is handmade for me right now. Besides there's a few prints I do offer, but most of the stuff is all custom made, one of a kind for everybody. So,
oh wow,
I'm only one person and I can only do so much. So, in my future, I'm hoping to have more prints and stuff for people to order so that they can get what they want.
Right. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So before I let you go, I have to ask, it seems as though a lot of your spookier stuff is done during the Halloween season. This is, of course, Creepy Kingdom, or
just, where everything is spooky.
Yes. Yeah. Year round, you know, but, you know, what kind of things are you thinking about for, this next upcoming Halloween season?
Well, I'm always doing Haunted Mansion stuff, because Haunted Mansion is good any time of the year. For me.
For me too.
So I mean, I'm always doing that. But coming up in Halloween, I'm really hoping to, I started trying to toy around with something last Halloween that didn't really pan out, to be made for many people. But what I'm really hoping to do is, I was working on a Madame Leota, pin or necklace kind of thing. Nice. Where it's like an actual sculpture in a pin or in a necklace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it, like I said, it didn't pan out, because I didn't have the foresight to do it in advance. I didn't. And so I started like October 1st, which was a bad time to start. And so my hope is that I can get that started much sooner and, get that rolling so people can get those. Cause I know that those are kind of the things people love tributes to the Haunted Mansion, you know?
Of course.
But there'll be lots of, I do lots of like themed jewelry. I do lots of jewelry that is hand painted, and, lots of mini, paintings. I don't know. We didn't really go over that, but I'm a mini artist. I paint mostly on like 2x2 and 4x4 art. Yeah. I can paint large. I mean, it's not hard to paint large. It's actually much harder to paint small, but, yeah, people love the small stuff.
So
pocket sized art.
What do people usually do with the small pieces of art?
Well, I have been known to coat them in resin and put them on a pin, like, so someone could wear it. Because I have like circular and square 2x2 sized canvases. But also, I think some people just like to have a bit of art that they can even put on like their desk. I've taken in my smaller pieces of art and had them framed and matted in like a 5x7. So it's a bigger frame, like a more common size frame, but still a small piece of art inside. And, I've done that for customers, or I've done that for myself, and it's really fun though.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface of all the stuff you do. That
I know. I'm a little bit of a jack of all trades. I try and narrow it down, I promise.
We'll just have to have you come back on and talk more about it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We can talk about, if ever you want to have a Haunted Mansion themed like podcast, bring me on. Those are awesome. I just love the Haunted Mansion.
Well, we have several, so we'll have to have you back on.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was super exciting when you invited me.
Well, I saw your portrait of things to come and knew I had to talk to the person that created it.
Thanks.
Hey, if you would like to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing us creepykingdom@gmail.com. And to check out our other podcasts, Curvy Kitty Chat, The Even James the Podcast Podcast, and Roxy's World, all you need to do is go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, just go to creepykingdom.com. Until next time, keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.